A good start. The U.S. economy is adding jobs again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, broadcasting live this week from the BBC in London, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Good morning. It's the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, as we wrap up our special focus on the European debt crisis from London, we'll speak with the foreign minister of Greece. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are mixed right now. The Dow is up 58 points at 11,181. The Nasdaq down about a third of a percent, and the S&P 500 up about one-tenth of 1% right now. The Labor Department said this morning that 103,000 jobs were created in the U.S. last month, and the unemployment rate remains at 9.1%. And the jobs report is where we will start now with our regular Friday guest, Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial, who is with us live this morning from San Francisco. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Chris, 103,000 jobs added last month. What do you think?
Well, this is one of those reports where Wall Street's reaction pretty well sums it up, right? Because it is mixed. On the one hand, we have 103,000 new jobs, which is good news. We also have an upward revision to August, so that zero is gone. That's also good news. But it's still frustratingly not enough to pull the unemployment rate down from 9.1%, where it's been stuck more or less for about 4 months.
Chris, I want to have you put this in the context of something that's a big story over here in the UK. The head of the Bank of England yesterday, Mervyn King, said as he decided to pump another $115 billion into the economy, that this could be the most serious financial crisis the world has ever faced. Here he is.
I think it's pretty clear that the world economy as a whole is slowing down much faster than people thought even a few months ago.
So, Chris Lowe, is he right?
I think he is right. The global economy is slowing significantly. It's not just Europe, too. It's emerging markets as well. The good news there is that the U.S. can grow without the rest of the world. We've done it before. The unfortunate thing is that all of us are being held hostage, in a sense, by the 17 European nations in the Eurozone who have got to fix their banking crisis, because that could affect us all.
Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial, thanks as always.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a raise-your-rate four-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. By Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
This weekend, the leaders of France and Germany will meet to figure out what to do about the banking crisis here in Europe. Officials are trying to get ahead of the financial hurricane that is currently centered over Athens, Greece. We're pleased to be joined now from Athens by the Greek Foreign Minister, Stavros Lambrinidis. Foreign Minister, do you think the debt crisis in Greece is getting better or worse right now?
I think it has the potential to get much better once the decisions that the European Union took get applied by all parliaments that have to vote them. The problem up to now has been that although Greece has been at great cost to its people and to its economy, we're in a serious recession, the markets thought that we could never achieve our goals because we simply didn't have enough time to do it. And this is the discussion that is being had right now in Europe, how it is that we can move ahead with the best possible way to safeguard not only Greece, but also Europe and the euro from those who believe or doubt our ability to do so.
How do you think that Greece ended up in the worst position in Europe financially?
Well, there's no question that we had an explosive combination of debt and deficit back in 2009, which was the biggest of any European country. At the same time, however, there's also no question that many European countries had exceeded the goals for debt or deficit or both that have been set jointly by us in the European treaties. And that created imbalances as opposed to balances.
It seems that as the news comes out every day about whether Greece is going to get its next round of bailout funding, that the Greeks sort of feel like they're getting a raw deal, that they are being treated badly by the people who are trying to help bail them out. Is that your sense?
But there's no question that the Greek people are not happy because the measures, of course, that have to be applied are extremely tough. Just to give you a sense of this, 5% of the deficit was reduced in only 1 year. Now, if one puts that in the context of U.S. numbers, that would be the whole defense budget of the U.S. Being cut in only 1 year.
Hmm.
At the same time, the whole pension system was rehauled in that same year. 10% of the public sector employees left in that same year were not replaced. A number of structural and fiscal consolidation changes took place in a very short period of time. That brought the country into a recession. Of course, that hurts.
Finally, I want to ask you, Greece is going through a period of austerity measures. This is something that is probably going to happen sometime soon in the United States. Could you give us a lesson? What have you learned that you would tell other countries who are going through the same thing?
Well, I would say, on the one hand, that there is no way to get out of a major debt unless one reaches primary surpluses. I would also say that at the same time, it's extremely important to focus on growing an economy while it is contracting because of fiscal consolidation. It is, if you like, these are two joint and they should be inevitable parts of the same coin.
Greek Foreign Minister Stavros Lambrinidis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And this final thought as we wrap up our week in London. I visited the Churchill War Rooms the other day. They're part of a great museum based in the actual rooms from which Winston Churchill conducted the British effort in World War II. And as I was reading about Churchill, I thought, here's a guy that my country never elected, but who had a big impact, no doubt, on the world Americans live in even today. Which makes you wonder, given the increasing magnitude of the European debt crisis, will we be saying the same thing about German leader Angela Merkel 60 or 70 years from now? Special thanks this week to Kate McGough here in London and the producer of our special coverage, Ethan Lindsay. And thanks, of course, to our hosts here at the BBC. In London, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
More than a million people are expected to leave the military over the next 5 years and start looking for jobs. Vets are hoping to market their wartime experience.
There's more discipline. There's more of a need and a want to be on time and show up to work, which you don't get a lot of times.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the front lines of the labor wars. Next time on Marketplace from APM, that's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.